Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We got ourselves some bad blood in the NFL. It's still going on all these years later. We will get to that coming up here in just a couple of moments from now. It is Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, hi. Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates wherever you are making us a part of your Thursday morning. We appreciate you doing so. We're taking you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. 6 o'clock Pacific right here on Fox Sports Radio. We got week two in the NFL coming up later on tonight with the Sticks Bowl between the Giants and the Washington football team, both former clubs of LeVar Arrington.
Yeah.
And we talked about LeVar Arrington's, I don't know if you would call it disgruntled. You don't want to call it disgruntled.
It wasn't disgruntled,
no. Right, yeah, just want to make
disappointed.
Sure. Disappointed. Yeah, disappointed.
Falling out, I think.
Falling out would work. That would be appropriate.
The situation there between you and Dan Snyder, or as Brady calls him, Danny Snyder.
Danny.
Old Danny Snyder.
Danny Soft Hands.
Yeah. Danny Soft
Hands. I'm not going to include the soft hands. I'm not sure what that's in reference to. But
his hands are really soft. You'll appreciate this being from Ohio. You know, when you shake a man's hand, it tells you a lot about that man. Yeah. And especially, my dad always say, make sure you look a man in the eye, look the person in the eye, you shake their hand, and it's a firm handshake. That's what I do. And, a lot of hands, when you shake a hand, you can feel the years. You can feel the callus. Yeah,
you
man,
can feel the work, the strain, all of it.
All of it, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the hands that have done nothing.
His feel like butter.
Baby butt.
LeVar, shake my hand. LeVar, shake my hand. Tell me what you think. No, okay, shake my hand.
That's
seriously.
Not bad.
Yeah, that's not my hand.
I'm
just asking you. Like, can we just?
That was horrible.
I'm just saying. Can you be
hand
a professional?
Hand sanitizer!
Here? Can you be a professional here?
HR!
I've tried to have a professional show here, and he continues to steer us down the ditch, Brady.
That's why they tell you to look the person in the eye when you shake their hand. Make sure you know what's going into your hand.
I don't know what to tell you. But let's talk about a disgruntled former player, somebody who's not happy about with his organization, and that is Megatron Calvin Johnson, who has got this this situation. Look, I wash my hands. You don't need.
I don't
to
know
sanitizer.
What you do with those hands. You've kind of tripped me out right now.
I mean, come on. I
had to make sure I sanitize my hands.
Come on now.
For sanitized reasons.
So Calvin Johnson was in a sit-down interview with Graham Bensinger talking about his situation with the Detroit Lions. And if you remember, they've been at odds because he feels like, they owe him some money that when he decided to retire, they wanted some of his signing bonus back. And so according to a report that came out, and this was in August by Dave Burkett of the Detroit Free Press, the Lions wanted to repay him the $1.6 million they owed him, but they put an offer on the table, and they reportedly offered him a 3-year deal that would have paid him $500,000 annually for appearance fees and then a $100,000 donation for Johnson's charity. Johnson declined the offer, and here's what he had to say about the situation. Here was Calvin Johnson.
That'd be nice. I'm not going to close the chapter, but I'm not going to bend over backwards to try to do anything because I didn't do anything. I did my job. I'm not saying they got to repay me the 1.6 all up front, but then they figure out a way to do it and not have me work for it because I already did the work for it.
Because that was the offer that was made, right? That
come work for it.
Right.
That's a joke.
All right. So
can I just make sure I'm clear on this? Because I'm still trying to make sure I'm clear.
Yeah.
When Andrew Luck retired, he was supposed to owe money back because he didn't live up to the life of the contract.
Yeah.
Well, he was paid. He was paid monies, right?
Right.
That really he hadn't technically
worked
earned.
For. Right.
Yeah.
So, but the Colts let him keep it. Like, you know what? you're the man, we fool with you,
right.
Just go ahead on. Is this the same situation, or do they actually owe him $1.6 million?
No, they don't owe him.
Okay, because the way okay, because again, now when you,
I think he had to pay a portion back.
Yes,
right.
Yeah,
I did read that. Right,
right. So,
he wants that money back that he had to give back.
Yes, and
so it's not repay him. It's I want the money that I had to give back when I retire.
Correct.
Or I don't fool with you.
Correct.
Because I had a Hall of Fame career, and you should have just let me have the 1.6 when I decided to retire.
Correct.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm just trying to understand it. Right, yeah, I'm just trying to understand
it. And, well, no, I'm with you. And the weird thing about this, and this is where it gets, like, difficult from a structure standpoint is, you know, they would be paying him a portion of what would have been his salary or bonus, whatever the case may be. There would be cap ramifications on that. And, you know, how do you go about applying it? Do you apply it to this year's cap? I mean, it's a bit odd only because, you know, when a player retires, it kind of takes away sometimes those monies that are owed. It depends on the circumstances. With Roma, that wasn't the case. They were paying him even after he was done. He was double dipping with CBS. In other cases, you know, it might be different. But there would be cap ramifications that would have to be sorted out as far as how that would be applied. Because your concern would be this. Your concern would be deferring payments to future years and to spread out over the life of the salary cap. So you wouldn't be getting hit that bad this year. But like 8, 9, 10 years from now, you're still paying a guy who hasn't played for you in 5 years. Like there's different thoughts as to why this could create a slippery slope for NFL teams.
I hate to sit on the fence. Even if I don't believe one side or the other, I'll just take one side or the other to have fun with it. I can see both sides in this because the Lions are like, look, you signed a contract, so of course we're going to get the money back if you decide to leave early. And then I can understand why Calvin Johnson points out other situations that have taken place around the NFL and be like, well, listen, I mean, those guys haven't done nearly what I did for my franchise, and they didn't have to get money back, and they were given some sort of a reward or a send-off at the end of all this. And a lot of this has come up because Matt Stafford, they were willing to work with Matt Stafford to send him somewhere where he could go potentially try and win a Super Bowl, and there was the feeling that they didn't really maybe try and do that with Calvin Johnson. This is also the same organization who was at odds with Barry Sanders. I mean, Barry Sanders
left the same exact way that Calvin Johnson did early.
And so when you see the trend there, you just wonder, all right, are they being cheap? But I can understand why the Lions would take this approach. I can understand why they would say, why should we give you back 1.6? And they did make him an offer. We'll pay you this. Just make some appearances for us. We just want to make sure we're not giving you $1.6 million just for the hell of it. And it just feels like
But let's be clear here. Let's be clear, right? They lose. It's a losing team. It's a losing organization. They're losers. Like, they lose. If I'm Detroit Lions decision makers, what's $1.6 million to a first ballot Hall of Famer? Because I can get wins off of having the support of Calvin Johnson. I can get wins if he's an ambassador to our team, if he comes to the games, if he's a part of the practices. We just saw Charles Woodson in the owner's box sitting next to Bucky Larson. Like, we saw it, right? There is a tremendous if you're telling me you can't monetize that 1.6, and I know we'll say, well, they're offering him money for the appearances that he makes. Yeah, but why not just pay the man his money? Some way, somehow, however you want to pay them. I don't even know that you – I mean, these companies, these owners, like, owning a team most times is a hobby to them. That's not their main course of income. Find a way to pay the man the $1.6 million so that he can be whole in his mind and feel confident about representing your franchise, because in the end, Calvin Johnson can probably generate you more money being a part of your organization – than you can with a lot of other elements that you're trying to bring to the table to make money. So that's why it's confusing to me why you would not invest in him to want to invest back into the organization.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. And I think also the 1.6 obviously means more to Calvin, and not just from the monetary standpoint, like what the dollars represent, but I think almost like the peace offering, mm-hmm. if you will. Mm-hmm. But even from a monetary standpoint, like what's $1.6 million to maybe what, a $1 billion franchise? I mean, or in this case, the Ford family, which I don't think Ford's hurting right
come
now.
Come on, man.
So that's the odd thing about this is it's like a squabble over 1.6.
There's something deeper there. Yeah. There's a deeper connection to this situation.
And also, like, this is an organization who made a concerted effort this offseason to bring in all these former players, right? Like, they were Chris Spielman, I think, left Fox to go be a part of the front office there. I think Barry Sanders did end up coming back, and he's doing some things there with the front office. Like, they've tried.
He was helping with the coaching search.
Yeah, like, they've tried to help out with all this. And here's the other part.
When you're losers, you have to tap into the winners that were losing with you. I mean, that's the reality of it.
Well, here's
right, Brady. I mean, be honest.
You'd like to. Yeah,
you would like to, because what else are you leveraging?
The Cubs have been doing this over the past several years. Now the Cubs are just a vomit bomb. But when they were winning over the past several years, they were always bringing back old players who were there for the rough times, the lean times, because they, as you said, they wanted to sort of make things right and at least let them show a different side of the organization now that they're having some success. Here's the other weird part of this. Calvin Johnson's going to be back week 3 to get his Hall of Fame ring there. So how the hell are you at odds, but you're willing to celebrate him coming back for his Hall of Fame ring in week 3? Like it feels like
it's more pressure from the NFL. You know,
is it?
Yes.
Like, they don't have a choice. Can't they do it via Zoom and just say, "Sorry, man, we're worried about COVID. You know, we don't really want you in the building." Like the whole thing just feels strange. Like there is.
So you want them to blame it on COVID, is what you're saying?
I mean, listen. If you know,
you have a full stadium, but you want them to blame it on COVID.
It's something you have in the holster there. You know,
I mean, it has become a convenient excuse. You know, I think for everyone.
Yeah. Just saying.
It's human nature to try to find ways of excusing yourself out of stuff you don't want to do, and
but
like COVID sometimes has become that. I don't know that it applies to this situation.
Yeah, he can do it. Listen, I've gone back at times to do things for the team.
You
because,
and Danny?
Well, no, but here's the thing: the hardest thing that fans can do is separate the team from the person. The hardest thing a player can do when they have situations take place is try to justify that I still love this aspect, I just don't love that aspect. And that's always going to be a conflict. I've gone back and have done events. I've spoken on behalf of the team and my experiences to fans because I felt as though in the moments that they had offered the opportunity, my beef with the team, my beef with the owner did not supersede me being able to impact young people's lives or fan bases that have been super loyal, intensely loyal. So for me, I have done things when I've gone back. Now, I've since kind of just disconnected myself 100% altogether. I have no connection with the team, no ties to the team whatsoever. But for someone like Calvin Johnson, who just went into the Hall of Fame, he's a first ballot. And believe you me, there's a difference between just being a Hall of Famer and being a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's tiers. There's tier levels to being a Hall of Famer. So Calvin Johnson basically sits on the top tier level of being a – so there's the superstars of the Hall of Fame, and then there's just guys who have made it into the Hall of Fame. All are equally important in terms of you made it into the final resting place of where we all want to go if we play this game. But some of these guys are famous, like you're a famous Hall of Famer, and that matters. And for what it's worth, that's Calvin Johnson. So why would you not invest in that? And if I'm Calvin Johnson, why would I not invest in that? So I'm going to show up to this ring ceremony. I'm going to get my ring, and I'm going to show all of the fans and the faithful. It's not that I don't fool with y'all. I'm going to take my ring. I'm going to show y'all love. Shots out to y'all. I'm not shouting out the decision makers of this organization. I'm not going to be that person that goes along with this as if it didn't happen. And I think that that's where Calvin Johnson is, and that's where there's a very fine line when you have that type of relationship and what fallout, as we would say, from one another while, you know, once you've left the game.
He should start taking stuff from the stadium. Just start putting stuff in his pockets. You know, like, we got to get this 1.6 back.
Itemized.
Yeah, whatever it is, man. Like, get one of those little massage guns. You get, like, whatever you can get from the training facility. Like,
just walk it through with a duffel bag.
100%.
Stuff
yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I mean, that would be a great a skit.
Yeah, they stole.
It would be an awesome skit.
They stole Thanksgiving from him for what, 7-8 years? Yeah. About time he gets some of that back and the 1.6. Good for you, Calvin. Steal.
Takes a turkey leg.
He definitely did not enjoy Thanksgiving.
No, he did not. It is Outkick the Coverage here. Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
It is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 20 minutes from now, we will have the Week 2 debut of the Prop Bet Monster as we get you set for Thursday Night Football.
Oh, yeah.
So we will dive into that coming up 20 minutes from now. Right now, though, we are always pleased to welcome in Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter for the MMQB.com.
Ohio State expert.
I mean, come on. I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to gas you up this early in the morning, Albert.
I'm just glad that, like, at least this week I don't have to talk to you the day after the game like last week. So
yeah.
You might have gotten me in a different mood if you had talked to me on Sunday rather than Thursday.
I mean, how did that happen? I mean, two of their best players weren't even playing. I mean, does that concern you a little bit?
I mean, out-schemed, out-flanked, out-coached, whatever you want to call it, LeVar. I mean, I think it's a tribute to how much talent, is on the roster there that it even wound up being a one-touchdown game. Because, I mean, I'm going to call it like I see it. That was an ass-whooping. Mm. I mean, like, they controlled the game up front on both sides of the ball. And that's without, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau, who I think we all know is, you know, going to be a top-five pick in April. And so, I have heard talking to some guys that there's been some soul-searching this week, so hopefully they can get it together.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah, I hope
a lot of soul searching amongst the coaching staff there, Albert.
Yeah.
I do want to transition, though. I want to ask you about, like, one particular thing about one of my old teams, OBJ, and with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
He's not going to be active or play again this week versus the Texans. Maybe you could make the case they don't really need him maybe to beat the Texans. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but what's going on there? Do you have any idea as far as, you know, why he's not back? It seems like he should be by this point in time in the year.
Yeah, I mean, Brady, I thought it was interesting, too, that Kevin Stefanski, who's, you know, totally tight-lipped about injuries, came right out yesterday and said he's not going to practice this week and he's not going to play this week. And, you know, generally coaches like to at least give it some level of gamesmanship when it comes to this stuff. And, that tells me they're trying to protect the player a little bit. And they don't want people asking questions about his toughness, because if you're taking it right up to game time the way that they took it up to game time last week, well, then, you know, I think the obvious question is going to be, could he have pushed through? It's one thing that really caught my attention was that they're protecting him a little bit here. And, you know, it does make you wonder, because, you know, we're talking about a guy who was hurt, like, I think that after the seventh or eighth game last year. And, I mean, was hurt, I believe, and I think you guys can look this up, but I think he went down like maybe a little bit over a month earlier than Joe Burrow did. So, I mean, look, all ACL injuries are a little different. Guys rehab a little bit different, but definitely got my attention. And I do think the fact that they, the fact that they tried to get him up and get him ready to play in week one, and now they're backing off of him, is at least reason to kind of, you know, think a little bit deeper about where he is right now.
Albert, speaking of, and I'm not talking about the bad Ohio State stuff, but a guy that you're very familiar with, Urban Meyer, this idea, and we were kind of laughing at it, this idea that he would just walk away from the situation in Jacksonville for USC a game in, where does this rumor land with you and Urban Meyer's start to his NFL career?
Well, I think USC's been a rumor. I mean, for him, like, Clay Helton's sort of been on the hot seat for the last 2-3 years. And so, you know, Urban's been connected to that job. I feel like going back to the minute he walked away from Ohio State, and, there are some things about that job that I think, you know, made people naturally connect to him. I mean, one of the biggest things is that, like, he wouldn't touch his legacy at Florida or Ohio State because he wouldn't be coaching in conference against those schools, you know? And, you know, obviously there's a natural thing. He's working with your guy Brady out there in Los Angeles every weekend. And so, you know, I honestly think that this is just kind of people dredging up an old rumor. Two things that I would kind of that I think are worth, like, really kind of looking at here. The number one thing is how much the Jaguars invested in him. And they're building a $150 million practice facility. They hired the biggest coaching staff in the NFL. They've put in sports science stuff they've never done before. They've made trainers get certifications in certain areas that they hadn't before. I mean, there's all of this stuff that they have done to make this program and that building and that team so specific to Urban. It'd be really crappy if you walked away, if you like Bobby Petrino'd them. You know what I mean? That's number one. And then number two, and maybe Brady can talk to this a little bit. I don't know that he wants to recruit anymore. When I asked him, why'd you come back? And point blank, this is about a month ago. I asked him, like, why did you do this? Why do you want to come back? Couldn't you just be on a boat, you know, sipping on a Corona somewhere? And his answer was basically that he, like, still had this void in his life and he still wanted competition and that he had opportunities to go back in college. And the question he kept asking himself was, do I want to do the recruiting 24/7 the way it's become? And the answer to him was no. Now, could he change his mind? Maybe. But I know what that thing has become for college coaches and how hard that is. And that's one thing that I think is appealing to all coaches, NFL over college, and especially a guy who's a little bit older now, like Urban is.
Well, yeah, just to carry on that, I mean, the one thing he said to me, Albert, that resonated was with NIL now in place, you know, the interesting thing about these players at the college level being able to get paid, you know, the idea behind it is they're not being paid necessarily in direct correlation with their performance on the field. And his frustration was, you know, what is that going to look like? How much is that going to impact recruiting? And it just seemed like to him it was more of a pro model. And if you're going to go to a pro model, then why not just go to the pros? When you're actually having players sign contracts, that is tied to your performance on the field. Like, there's no gray area. There's no questions about it. It just seems cleaner. So that was one of the other concerns I think he had, too, with when you look at the college football world and NIL and how new it is and how it's impacting that recruiting that you're talking about.
Well, and that's interesting, too, Brady. So what you're saying is, like, guys in the college level are getting paid in their celebrity, not their performance, right? Yeah,
correct. I mean, that's essentially what it is.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because I hadn't thought about it that way. But everything with Urban, everything that Urban does is so built on, like, trying to create a meritocracy and competition and putting a scoreboard on everything. I could certainly see where that'd be a factor, where that actually makes a lot of sense. You know, if you're getting paid based on, you know, your Instagram followers rather than, like, how good a player you are, I could see where that would be problematic if you're trying to set up the sort of program Urban wants to set up.
Let me switch to another coach that is in an interesting situation, Matt Nagy. The Bears obviously didn't get off to a great start. Didn't look very good against the Rams. They're going to have the Bengals, and then it gets interesting. They have the Browns. Give them the Lions, but then you have Raiders, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, San Francisco. It's a very, very brutal schedule that the Bears are staring at moving forward. How important is it for Matt Nagy to get it right with this quarterback situation?
Very important. Like, I actually think, LeVar, it might be the most important thing coming out of this year for him. And that, like, you know, you look now, they're 4 years in. And this is what's amazing about it to me is, like, perception versus reality. Like, over Matt Nagy's 3 years, they're actually top 10 in the NFL in wins, and they've been in the playoffs 2 out of 3 years. So, like, I think, like, the perception versus the reality doesn't really match up. Now, the problem he has is the trajectory of the franchise. They won 12 games in year one, and then they've won 8 games the last 2 years. So, you know, I think so much of whether or not he survives and the GM there, Ryan, he survives, is going to be based on the momentum of the franchise and where they're going. And, like, the defense has gotten older in spots. That was a dominant group a couple of years ago. Can they still be that group? I think we saw some cracks in the foundation the other night, you know, against the Rams. Like, where was Khalil Mack? Is Eddie Jackson the same player he was? I think there are some questions there. And if there's one thing you can do to sort of turn the Titanic, right, and change the trajectory of the franchise and, like, make people believe that you've got momentum going in a positive direction, it's to end the year with a young quarterback who's ascending. And so whether you're doing it for your job security or not, like, I think that there's at least got to be some positive momentum here. And if they stumble over the next few weeks, I think they're going to have to come to the point where it's like Justin Fields can do some stuff Andy Dalton can't. And if we don't think we have a championship team right now, it's on us to make sure the franchise is going in the right direction. And if we think Justin Fields can handle the ups and downs of being a rookie quarterback, then Justin Fields is the best way for us to create positive momentum for the franchise. And that's why I felt all along, like, it's not just Andy Dalton's personal performance that's going to keep him in the lineup. It's whether or not the team's contending. Because if the team falls out of contention, there's no use in having the older quarterback in there anymore.
Albert Breer, MMQB.com, senior NFL reporter, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on Outkick the Coverage. I wanted to ask you a little something about tonight's game between the Giants and Washington. You had a note in your mailbag about Saquon Barkley, how you did a little bit of a deeper dive as to just sort of, you know, his past, not just, you know, in the NFL, but even going all the way back to college. Can you tell the people listening what you uncovered and doing a little bit of research on Saquon?
Yeah, I mean, like, the inconsistency in his performance was, I mean, it's startling.
Hey, be careful, Buckeye. be very careful with this one, Buckeye. Sounds like
LeVar,
a conflict of interest here.
LeVar, I'll text you a link. No bias here. I'm going by the numbers.
All right.
And you know, like, the truth is, if you look at his numbers and you look at, you know, 3 years at Penn State and then his first 3 years in the pros, this has nothing to do with his injury. What you'll see is a bunch of games where he has 150, 200 yards, and then you'll see more games where he has 60 yards, 70 yards, 80 yards. In fact, since he came into the NFL, guys, he has 13 games of 50 or fewer yards rushing and 11 games of 100 or more. And so he has more games where he's been held under 50 yards than he has games where he's rushed for more than 100. And in the games where he's rushed for more than 100, I think it's in 7 of those 11 games, he has a run of 50-plus yards. What does that tell you?
He doesn't do much outside of those big runs.
Yeah, I mean, he's a home run hitter, right? Yeah. And so, like, I think the question is he, like, I hate to put it this way, but is he a 230-pound, like, third down back, you know? And that, I think, is a question that the Giants have to ask with this one. They're talking about him coming off the injury and do you want to pay him in the history of paying the running back position. And I think it's different than, like, an Ezekiel Elliott or a Todd Gurley, because those guys were so consistent week to week. And both those guys, you know, I think, you know, were the top of the league at the position. But not just that, you could build offenses around those guys. And just to kind of verify, like, what I was looking at when I looked at the numbers from Penn State, I went and I looked at Jonathan Taylor at Wisconsin and Ezekiel Elliott at Ohio State. And I'm telling you guys, those guys were rushing for 100 yards every single week.
Those are also two very different lines, though. I mean, Wisconsin,
right, didn't have as good of a line.
Yeah. That's
right,
I agree.
I agree with that, LeVar. But I just think, like, I just think there's something there where, you know, like, Saquon's and he's a great dude. He's a really great athlete. and a huge, like, big play weapon to have in your offense. But if you're going to pay a guy at the top of the market, if you're going to give a running back $14, $15, $16 million a year, like, I think that running back, you have to, like, be able to build an entire offense around that running back to make that a value for you. And is Saquon that guy that you can count on in a week week in, week out basis? I don't know if he's that guy. Now, in his defense, like you said, LeVar, the line at Penn State at times wasn't very good, and the line with the Giants hasn't been very good.
Correct.
So it's possible we're looking at that. I looked at this. It's possible I looked at this, and you know, you can look at it and say, okay, well, if he had Quentin Nelson and Ryan Kelly and like and Braden Smith blocking for him like Jonathan Taylor does, or if he had Zach Martin and Tyron Smith and, you know, Travis Frederick for the first few years blocking for him like Ezekiel Elliott did, you'd have different results. But I think it's at least something that's worth paying attention to, whether or not Saquon Barkley can be the sort of down-to-down production guy that you're going to pay at the running back position at the highest level.
I didn't like the way that the direction of this interview went.
I
don't know.
I mean, who asked that question anyway? I mean LeVar, who asked that question?
You know who asked that question.
Look, I know. I just thought, you know, if we were going to make him eat broccoli to start off the interview, give him an ice cream sundae at the end.
LeVar, you're talking to the same guy, by the way, who told you Adafe Owe is going to be a monster and win Defensive Rookie of the Year.
You think he's going to get Rookie of the Year?
I got the money in the bank with you there. Yeah, I think he's going to be Rookie of the Year.
I think we have it locked up for certain. Okay. Somebody from Penn State is going to get it. I believe that. And way to suck back up, Albert. Way to try to get back into my good graces. I'm not over this Saquon thing, though.
Hey, if I was really going to suck up, I would have given it to Sticks down there in Dallas, right?
Indeed.
Hey, Albert, scale of 1 to 10, if the Giants lose tonight, how much heat is Joe Judge in, Daniel Jones in?
Yeah, I know the
scale
Giants.
Scale of 1 to 10. We got a break coming up. It's got to be quick.
Okay, I would say Daniel Jones 8. I'd say Joe Judge 5. Ownership really likes Joe Judge. I think the general manager is in more trouble than the head coach in New York. I think Joe Judge is okay right now.
Get him on Twitter, at Albert Breer. Albert, we always appreciate it, man. It's a good time, and we will do it again next week.
Thanks, Albert.
All right, thanks, guys.
No, thank you, Albert. No, thank you.
No, thank you, LeVar.
It's Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Learn more at visitlasvegas.com. I'm going to start at the end. No worries. You want me to redo it? I could do it. I could redo it.
Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn.
Hey, was that live?
Here on FSR.
Did that go over live, Aaron? Was that on live radio?
You got to be careful with the mics in this place. You never know. You know, sometimes they'll fall apart. Sometimes they're out.
Hey, that joke is funny, man.
They call him One Take LeVar.
Yes. Yeah, one take after another. Yes. That's what it is.
And again and again and again.
By the way, we are going to take a closer look at Week 2, which kicks off later on tonight. An interesting decision at quarterback was made in the offseason. We'll take a look at that here top of next hour. Right now, though, it is time for the Week 2 edition of something we do call this.
Here to feed your degenerate gambling soul, the Prop Bet Monster. Sucker.
So here we go. We do it for the primetime games, standalone games, the Thursday night and Monday night games, and we will kick off week two with the Giants at Washington later tonight. It is LeVar versus Brady, so it's LB versus QB, hosted by a DB.
Both have
here
Bs.
On Fox Sports Radio. So let's get
hosted
it started, guys.
Who?
Five prop bets.
A DB?
Yeah.
You're a DB?
D-bag.
I know what
no,
it is.
No, I thought defensive back.
No,
isn't
absolutely
that what you
not. No, definitely not.
No, no. I knew it was the other DB acronym.
All right, so we've got five made-up prop bets here that I've come up with.
Let's do it! First and foremost,
a LeVar Arrington jersey sighting, yes or no?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
No!
Yeah!
All right, so you're going to go no. That's very negative.
Wait, what?
Yeah, yes, I'm going no.
Brady, which is your
pick? You're going no. I'm going yes.
All right, look at you. And by the way, Eddie Garcia saw LeVar Arrington jersey at RFK Stadium last week.
Come on, it's not RFK.
Well, it wasn't I grew up.
There was a ghost in
RFK
that jersey.
RFK looks like the Coliseum at this point. Like the one in Rome.
The one in Rome.
Okay, how about this one?
It's accurate.
This is when, not if, but when does Daniel Jones fumble the ball? Here are your options. First quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. Or all of the above.
Oh, wow.
So you're saying four fumbles in the last one?
Well, just pick one. You know, you got multiple opportunities to win here.
Well, I'm saying if you pick the last one, you're basically picking any point in time in the game, right?
Well, no, you're saying he fumbled in every single corner.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, yeah. Which is not that far outside the realm of possibility.
So not fumbling is not an option is what you're saying.
Basically, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say the fourth quarter.
All right.
Second quarter.
All right.
Oh!
Interesting strategy there. Interesting. All right, how about this one? Which freak injury to a Washington quarterback
do they mention
or show first? Here are your options. Lawrence Taylor stepping on Joe Theismann's ankle, Alex Smith's leg break, RG3's knee injury in the playoffs, or Gus Frerotte headbutting a wall.
I mean, can I take Fitzpatrick hurting a hip?
Yeah. Is that not part of it?
Okay, you want to put that on? All right, yeah, let's go. Fitz hurting a hip.
That's what I'm going with.
I definitely think they're going to show that at some point. I could see, though, that networks being like, hey, the Washington football team's gone through a lot of tragic quarterback injuries. I'm going to go with Theismann. I going to go with Theismann. I think they might have like a history of injuries to their starting quarterback. I think maybe that's the play. That's
only made relevant by the fact that Fitzpatrick got hurt in the first game.
Well, but the fact that Brady, that's a TV answer there because he knows how this works when they put together those packages.
They'll have like that time.
100%, he's correct.
Yeah, I mean, you're a TV guy, LeVar. You know that.
No, I don't call games, though, but right. I watch them with the volume off, and that's Brady.
So, next up, do we see another plumbing issue? Yes or no?
No!
All right.
I don't know. There might be a plumbing issue on the field.
Is there a third option? Like, I'm with LeVar. I don't think we will because that's embarrassing, right? But there could be another issue. Like, will there be a rodent somewhere in the stadium, on the field, something like that?
Listen, I'm the prop ed monster here, all right? I make the rules. Will there be a plumbing issue, yes or no?
Oh, wow.
There are no other options here.
He dropped a hammer on you, Brady.
He's a zero fun Jonas Knox,
All right, well, if you want to have fun, here's your final one.
No fun league, Jonas!
Which D.C. tourist attraction is shown first during the broadcast? The White House, Washington Monument, Lincoln Memorial, or the Camelot Show Bar Strip Club?
Camelot! Well, you didn't include Ben's Chili Bowl, man.
No, come on, Ben's
Chili Bowl is going to be the answer, but Camelot sounds way better.
Brady, make a pick.
The White House.
All right, very good. And that is your week two Thursday edition of the Prop Bet Monster or Assets. You remember Assets?